All right, so let's dive into something that at first glance might seem a bit dry, national debt.
Yeah.
But stick with me on this one because we're not just talking about numbers on a spreadsheet. This is about real-world stuff, stuff that can hit our wallets and really shape the future. Now, you've sent over a whole bunch of sources on the UK's national debt, and I guess our mission today is to kind of like break down what it is, why it should matter to you, and what we can all learn from this.
Yeah, it's a crucial topic. And I think a good place to start is to define what we even mean by national debt. We often hear about the budget deficit, which is also known as public sector net borrowing, or PSNB. And this basically means that in a given year, the government is spending more than it's bringing in through taxes.
So it's kind of like when we overspend on those credit cards in a month.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Now imagine those credit card balances from month to month, they just keep adding up. That's essentially what the national debt is. It's the accumulation of all those budget deficits over time. And here's where things get really interesting. The UK's national debt has just hit its highest point since 1962, even surpassing the levels that we saw during the pandemic.
Wow, that's a pretty alarming statistic. So if the UK is, usually running a deficit, does that mean that increasing debt is basically inevitable?
It's a pattern that we've seen for a long time, yeah. Each year's deficit gets added to the existing pile, and that's where the real concern lies. Research has shown that there's kind of a tipping point when it comes to public debt, a level where it actually starts to harm economic growth.
Okay, so there's more to this than just the number itself. What exactly is this tipping point, and what makes it so dangerous?
Well, globally, researchers have found that when a country's debt exceeds 77% of its GDP, economic growth takes a hit. For emerging markets, it's even lower, around 64%. So why does this happen? Think about it. If a huge chunk of government revenue has to just go towards paying the interest on that debt, what's left over to invest in the things that actually boost the economy? Things like infrastructure, education, research, and development.
So instead of funding, new schools
Yeah.
or cutting-edge research, we're kind of stuck in a cycle of just paying off interest.
Exactly. It's like trying to run a business while only making the minimum payments on your loans. You can't invest in growth, and it eventually catches up to you. Some studies have even suggested that each additional percentage point of debt over that threshold can cost a country up to 0.02 percentage points of annual growth.
That might sound small. But over time, that really adds up. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think the UK's debt is currently at 99.5% of GDP.
That's right, significantly above that critical threshold. One of the articles that you sent over actually quotes the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Darren Jones. He actually describes this current economic situation as the worst economic inheritance since World War II.
Wow, those are some pretty strong words. So it sounds like the Chancellor faces some incredibly tough choices here. On the one hand, we have this massive debt burden, and on the other hand, there's growing demand for investment in public
There's a
services.
real balancing act. I think one economist that I read used the phrase uncomfortable choices when describing this challenge. Imagine trying to meet the needs of a growing population, healthcare, education, social services, while also trying to get this enormous debt under control.
Yeah, and I'm guessing all of this has a very direct impact on our lives, even if we don't always see that connection.
Absolutely. Let's take those retail sales figures that were mentioned in one of the articles. A 1.2% drop in June. While things like poor weather and election uncertainty play a role, it's hard not to wonder if this rising national debt and its potential impact on the overall economy
Yeah.
are contributing to people tightening their belts a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a complex web for sure. Even if we don't fully grasp all the ins and outs of national debt, we might feel the consequences in things like job security, the cost of living, the quality of public services.
So how does the government even begin to tackle a problem of this magnitude? What are the options on the table?
Well, there are a few kind of classic strategies, each with its own set of trade-offs. One option is to try and cut government spending. And this could involve things like reducing funding for certain programs, streamlining government operations to reduce waste, or potentially even reducing the size of the public sector workforce.
I imagine those options are sure to spark some pretty heated debate. Cutting essential services could impact the most vulnerable in society, and nobody wants to see job losses. Are there any alternatives that don't involve such drastic measures?
Another tool in the government's arsenal is raising taxes. This could involve increasing income tax, corporate tax, or potentially even introducing new taxes on specific goods or services.
But wouldn't that risk stifling economic growth? You know, if people and businesses have less money in their pockets, won't that slow down spending and investment?
Yeah, that's a valid concern, and it's something that policymakers have to weigh very, very carefully. Higher taxes can certainly discourage investment and consumption, which could lead to slower economic growth. Finding that right balance is absolutely crucial.
So we've got spending cuts, which can be painful, and we've got tax increases, which could potentially backfire. Is there another way out of this debt dilemma?
Well, there is another approach, and that's focusing on stimulating economic growth. The idea here is that a stronger economy will lead to higher tax revenues, which can then be used to pay down the debt. It's kind of like trying to grow your way out of debt.
I see. So it's not necessarily about avoiding debt altogether. It's more about using it strategically as a tool for long-term growth.
Exactly. This could involve policies aimed at boosting investment, encouraging innovation, promoting entrepreneurship, or making the UK a more attractive place to do business internationally.
Those all sound like very positive steps. But I imagine stimulating economic growth is a long game. It's not a quick fix.
You're absolutely right. Economic growth takes time. And there's no guarantee that it will be enough to overcome a large debt burden. There are also risks involved if those investments don't generate the expected returns, or if the economy faces unexpected headwinds. The debt could actually become an even bigger burden.
This all sounds very, very intricate. It seems like every potential solution comes with its own set of challenges, potential downsides. How do we even begin to assess which path is the right one?
Yeah, it's certainly not straightforward. There are no easy answers when it comes to managing national debt. But I think it's helpful to kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture. What are the long-term implications of high national debt? How will it affect different segments of society? And what about future generations?
That's a great point. We've talked about the potential impacts on government services, interest rates, taxes, but we haven't really touched on that intergenerational aspect of this issue. What does national debt actually mean for our children, grandchildren?
It's a question that I think often gets overlooked in these discussions, but it's absolutely crucial. If a country accumulates a large amount of debt, it essentially means that future generations will be responsible for paying it off. This could take the form of higher taxes down the line, or it could mean fewer resources available for essential services like education, healthcare, infrastructure.
So we're essentially just passing the buck to our kids and grandkids. That feels a bit unfair, doesn't it?
It's a moral dilemma that policymakers grapple with constantly. Is it ethical to enjoy the benefits of government spending today while leaving the bill for future generations to pay? It's a complex issue with ethical, economic, and social dimensions.
Yeah, it definitely adds another layer of complexity to this whole national debt conversation. It's not just about balancing the books today. It's also about ensuring a fair and sustainable future for generations to come.
Absolutely. It's about finding solutions that address the immediate challenges without compromising the long-term well-being of the nation.
Now earlier we talked about that tipping point where national debt starts to negatively impact economic growth. What are some specific examples of how this might play out in the real world? What does that 0.02 percentage point decrease in annual growth actually look like for people?
Well, it's all about opportunity cost. Let's say the government has to dedicate a larger portion of its budget to debt servicing. That might mean fewer resources available for building new hospitals, expanding access to affordable housing, investing in renewable energy technologies. It could mean cuts to education funding, resulting in larger class sizes, fewer resources for teachers. It could mean delays in crucial infrastructure projects, leading to transportation bottlenecks and hindering economic activity.
It paints a pretty sobering picture. It's not just about abstract economic indicators. It's about real people's lives and the opportunities that are available to them.
Exactly. And those seemingly small percentage point changes in growth.
Yeah.
Can accumulate over time, leading to a significant gap in living standards compared to a scenario where debt is managed more sustainably.
So what can everyday people do? Is this just a problem for for politicians and economists to solve, or do we have a role to play?
Well, this is where informed citizenship comes in. The more we understand about national debt, its causes, its consequences, and the potential solutions, the better equipped we are to engage in those meaningful conversations about it. We can hold our elected officials accountable, advocate for responsible fiscal policies, and make informed choices in our own lives that contribute to a more sustainable economic future.
That's empowering. It's not about feeling helpless in the face of a complex problem, but rather about understanding the issue and participating in the solutions.
Precisely. And it's about recognizing that national debt isn't just some abstract economic concept. It's something that affects all of us. And we all have a role to play in shaping the future.
Okay, I'm feeling a bit more optimistic now, but I'm still curious about those uncomfortable choices that you mentioned earlier. What are some concrete steps the government could take to manage this debt burden, and what are the potential trade-offs involved?
Sure. So let's break down those kind of classic strategies we touched upon earlier. Mm-hmm. Spending cuts, tax increases, and economic stimulus. Each approach has its own set of pros and cons, and the right path will likely involve some combination of these strategies tailored to the UK's specific circumstances.
Okay, let's start with spending cuts. What are some specific areas where the government might consider reducing spending, and what are the potential consequences?
Well, one area that often comes under scrutiny is social welfare programs. You know, these programs provide essential support to millions of people, but they also represent a significant portion of government spending. Reducing spending in this area could help lower the deficit,
but it
could also lead to increased hardship for vulnerable populations.
That's a tough trade-off. What about areas like defense spending or infrastructure?
Mm.
Could cuts in those areas help to reduce the debt burden?
They could, but again, there are trade-offs. Reducing defense spending could weaken the UK's military capabilities, potentially making the country more vulnerable to external threats, and cutting infrastructure spending might seem like a quick way to save money in the short term, but it could lead to longer term economic consequences if essential infrastructure projects are delayed or abandoned.
It seems like there's no easy way to cut spending without potentially creating some negative ripple effects.
Yeah, that's the challenge. It's about finding the right balance between fiscal responsibility and maintaining essential services and investments that support a thriving society.
Okay, so spending cuts are tricky. What about the second option, raising taxes? Where could the government look to increase revenue, and what are the potential downsides?
Well, one option is to increase income tax rates, particularly for higher earners. This could generate significant revenue, but it could also disincentivize work and investment.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially leading to slower economic growth.
And wouldn't that also impact people's disposable income, potentially slowing down consumer spending?
That's another valid concern. Another option is to increase corporate tax rates. This could generate revenue from businesses, but it could also make the UK a less attractive place for businesses to operate, potentially leading to job losses and reduced investment.
Yep.
So it's a delicate balancing act. Too much of a tax burden could stifle economic activity. What about those innovative solutions that we discussed earlier? Could those offer a way out of this debt quagmire?
They certainly have the potential to contribute to a more sustainable approach to debt management. One idea that's been gaining traction is the concept of green bonds. These are bonds that are specifically designed to finance environmentally friendly projects.
Yeah, I've heard of those. They sound very promising. But how do they actually work? And why are they considered a potential solution to the debt problem?
Well, green bonds are essentially a way for governments to raise capital. For projects that have positive environmental impacts, these projects could range from renewable energy infrastructure to energy efficiency upgrades to sustainable transportation systems.
So instead of just borrowing money to cover general expenses, the government is borrowing money specifically to invest in projects that benefit the environment.
Exactly. And what makes green bonds particularly attractive is that they often appeal to a wider range of investors, including those who are specifically looking to support sustainable initiatives. This can increase demand for these bonds, potentially leading to lower borrowing costs for the government.
So it's a win-win. We get investment in green projects and potentially at a lower cost than traditional borrowing.
In theory, yes. Of course, the success of green bonds depends on a number of factors, including the credibility of the projects being financed,
Right.
the transparency of the bond issuance process, and the overall demand from investors.
But if done right, it sounds like green bonds could be a valuable tool for both addressing the debt challenge and promoting a more sustainable future.
Absolutely. It's a great example of how innovative financing mechanisms can play a role in tackling complex global challenges.
Yeah. Okay. So green bonds are one potential avenue. What other innovative solutions are being explored in the realm of debt management?
Another intriguing area is the use of technology to improve transparency and efficiency in debt management. This could involve using blockchain technology
Yeah.
to create secure and tamper-proof debt registries, making it easier to track debt obligations and reduce the risk of fraud or mismanagement.
So it's like bringing debt management into the digital age.
Exactly. And there's also the potential to use data analytics
Yeah.
to better understand debt patterns, identify potential risks, and develop more effective debt management strategies.
It sounds like technology could play a key role in making debt management more efficient, more transparent, and more accountable. But what about those countries that are already facing unsustainable debt burdens? Is there any hope for them?
That's where the concepts of debt forgiveness
Yeah.
or debt restructuring come in.
Hold on. Are we talking about just wiping away debt?
It's not always about completely wiping away the debt, but rather about renegotiating the terms of repayment in a way that makes it more manageable for the debtor country. This could involve extending repayment deadlines, reducing interest rates, or even converting some of the debt into grants or other forms of aid.
That sounds like it could provide some much needed relief
Yeah.
for countries that are struggling under the weight of their debt, but who decides on these debt forgiveness or restructuring deals?
It's usually a complex negotiation involving the debtor country, the creditors, which could be other countries, international organizations, or even private lenders, and often intermediaries like the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank.
So it's not just a one-sided decision. It's a collaborative effort to find a solution that works for everyone involved.
Exactly. And the goal is to find a way to make the debt more sustainable, allowing the debtor country to get back on a path to economic growth and development without being crippled by its debt obligations.
It sounds like debt forgiveness or restructuring could be a powerful tool for helping countries escape a debt trap. But are there any downsides to this approach?
There are potential drawbacks for creditors. It means accepting less than they are owed, which could have financial implications for them. And for debtor countries, there's always the risk of moral hazard.
Moral hazard. What do you mean by that?
It refers to the possibility that countries might be less cautious about taking on debt in the future if they know there's a chance they could get some of it forgiven or restructured later on.
That's a valid point. It's like knowing there's a safety net could make you more likely to take risks. So debt forgiveness or restructuring is not a perfect solution, but it seems like a valuable tool in certain circumstances.
That's right. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, but it highlights the importance of finding creative and collaborative approaches to address the global debt challenge.
It's clear that managing national debt is a multifaceted challenge that requires a nuanced understanding of economics, of social dynamics, and even ethical considerations. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, and I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a handle on this complex issue.
It's definitely a topic that warrants careful consideration and ongoing dialogue. The more we understand about national debt, the better equipped we'll be to navigate these challenges and advocate for solutions that promote a sustainable and prosperous future.
Well, we've talked about the mechanics of national debt, the potential risks and benefits, and the challenges of managing it. But before we wrap up, I'd love to leave our listeners with something to ponder.
I'm all ears.
We've talked about the downsides of high national debt, but is there ever a situation where it could actually be beneficial? It's tempting to think of debt as always a bad thing, but I'm remembering those infrastructure projects that we discussed earlier. Isn't it possible that taking on debt to fund those initiatives could ultimately lead to long-term economic benefits that outweigh the costs of borrowing?
Yeah, that's a key point. It's not about demonizing debt, but rather understanding its role in the bigger picture. You know, a certain level of national debt is actually considered normal and even healthy for a functioning economy.
Yeah.
It allows governments to kind of smooth out spending over time, respond to crises like the pandemic, or invest in those long-term projects that benefit everyone.
So it's less about striving for zero debt and more about managing it responsibly and strategically.
Exactly. The key is to ensure that debt levels are sustainable and that the borrowed funds are used effectively. It's kind of like taking out a mortgage. It can be a responsible way to achieve a long-term goal like homeownership, but it needs to be managed carefully.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So maybe some debt isn't inherently bad, but I keep thinking back to those uncomfortable choices that you mentioned. What are some truly innovative solutions governments could explore to manage this challenge? We've touched on green bonds and technology, but what else is out there?
Well, this is where things get really interesting. Beyond those kind of traditional approaches of spending cuts, tax increases, mm-hmm. and economic stimulus, mm-hmm. there are some fascinating ideas gaining traction. One concept that's been getting some attention is the idea of a sovereign wealth fund.
I've heard that term before, but honestly, I'm not quite sure what it means.
Essentially, it's a state-owned investment fund, mm-hmm. that invests in a variety of assets like stocks, bonds, real estate, or even precious metals. The idea is to generate long-term returns that can be used to benefit the country's citizens, yeah. Potentially even helping to pay down national debt.
So it's like a giant savings account for the country, but one that actively invests to grow its wealth.
That's a good way to think about it. You know, Norway's sovereign wealth fund, for example, is funded by its oil revenues.
Yeah.
And is now worth over $1 trillion. It's a powerful example of how a country can use its resources to create a financial cushion for the future.
That's incredible. So could a sovereign wealth fund be a viable option for the UK?
It's definitely an idea worth exploring, although it would require careful planning and a long-term perspective. The UK would need to identify sources of funding for the fund, perhaps through strategic investments or even setting aside a portion of tax revenue each year. It's not a quick fix. But it could be a powerful tool for building financial resilience over time.
That's fascinating. Are there any other sort of out of the box solutions that are being considered?
Another idea that's been floated is the concept of citizen bonds. These are bonds that are specifically marketed to individual citizens, allowing them to directly invest in government projects and initiatives.
So it's like crowdfunding for the government.
Exactly. It could be a way to tap into the savings of ordinary citizens, giving them a chance to support to support projects they believe in, mm-hmm. while also earning a return on their investment.
I like the idea of citizens having a more direct stake in how the government uses their money. It could foster a sense of ownership and accountability. Are there any risks associated with citizen bonds?
Of course, any investment carries some level of risk.
Yeah.
It's important that these bonds are structured in a way that protects investors,
yeah.
while also ensuring the government can access the capital that it needs. Transparency and clear communication are key.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. I feel like we've gone from feeling overwhelmed by this issue to actually having a sense of hope and possibility.
It's amazing what a bit of knowledge and exploration can do. And remember, this conversation is far from over. We encourage you, our listeners, to continue researching, asking questions, and engaging in this important discussion.
What innovative solutions do you think could help address this global challenge? Let us know.